Welcome to another pre-show of
Mysteries of the Mind.
Welcome to the special 10th anniversary pre-show. No, wait.
So exciting.
Sorry, the 10th episode pre-show.
Oh, that's slightly less exciting.
Even though, well, no, and 10 episodes already gone, so this is the 11th episode pre-show. But we're actually going to talk about the top 10 episodes so far in the series. And that's considering there's 10. That's a good place
really
to start.
It was difficult to whittle it down to just 10.
Yes, considering there was only 10.
Through hard work and perseverance, we found a number. We found a group of episodes that worked.
And a group of episodes that didn't work as well as we thought they would work. That's how I'll put it.
At the end of the day, I think they all worked. I enjoyed each and every one of them.
That's right, and they're all gold. So listen to them all if you haven't.
They're just different shades of gold.
Yes. One is more green than the rest.
One's golden rod. There's fool's gold.
Exactly.
Bronze.
And there's puce.
Nothing says humility like counting down your top 10 favorite episodes when you have 10 episodes released.
That's it. So, without further ado, why don't you, Doc, list us. Now, we've taken what we've done here. This is sort of like the Oscars, right? To explain the rules here, we've each given a list in of our top 10 episodes. Well, the 10 episodes in the order from least favorite to most favorite. And that's not saying the worst or the best, but without further ado, Doc, I want you to read off the lower episodes from 10 to 6 based on the conglomerate average of the three hosts.
Okay, so we're going to count down our 10 through 6. Mm-hmm. And coming in at number 10 with an average ranking of 9.3, our first episode, Touched by a King.
Ooh, number 10, Touched by a King. Number 1 becomes number 10.
Coming in at number 9 with an average ranking of 7.6.
Yes?
Moon Madness.
Oh, really? Lower than I would have put it.
Number 8 with an average ranking of 7.3 is The New Employee.
Oh, okay. The most recent episode.
And coming in at number...
Seven? I think it was seven.
Yeah, seven.
Yes. at an average ranking of 6.6, The Man Behind the Wall.
Ah. Not as popular with us as we thought it was.
Number 6, with an average ranking of 6, is Journey to Dimension X.
Ah, okay.
So those are our... Our conglomerate back five.
Okay, interesting. Any comments we want to make on that before we each discuss our personal top five?
No. Going to say there's actually very little surprises.
That was actually like all but my number 10. That was like my 9 through 5 right there in the exact order of 10 through 6.
Or close to it, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, I was pretty much there. I think I put episode 6 at 6. Yeah, that would be Moon Madness at 6 myself. So that sounds about right. Okay. And, I mean, let's face it. Touched by a King gets, it gets dumped in the bottom. It can't help it. It's the pilot episode. It was
rough. But I still enjoy it.
It's so fun to listen to. There's some really weird moments in it.
Yeah, and the only reason it didn't get a rank of 10 out of 10 is because I was the only one that didn't rank it last. Just because the sound quality is awful because it's our first time we did it, and we might be a little rough, but there are some really funny bits in there.
Oh, yeah, no, there's some bits in there I really enjoy, too. The guy hanging from the tree at the very end, still a lot. Yeah. The whole court scene, I liked it. I'm the only juror, the Murphy bits that he threw in were really funny. I liked it a lot, but... I think
when you have
it was still
episodes,
rough. Yeah, it was still rough compared to the others. It was pretty basic, and the sound quality obviously sucked. But
you had a good King. You had a good Elvis impression.
Yeah. Thank you. But to be honest, I think because now we've got a kind of a groove ongoing, that one was a little bit weaker than the rest, and it can't help it. So it's not like it's a terrible episode. It's just that, you know, it got a little bit better. I think we did some fun stuff and interesting stuff and took more chances with other episodes that we didn't take with this one, because we were, you know, treading in dangerous waters.
We weren't sure where we were going. It was unpolished, and we didn't have as much practice because, as you guys know, this is all nothing written down, live to tape, just kind of winging it, ad-libbing it.
So ad-libbed, we don't even have tape.
I always say live to tape, but there's absolutely no tape involved. It's digital.
It's
live to computer.
Live to mic.
That doesn't sound as good.
Yeah.
It's a hot mic. How about that?
Yeah.
There you go. What? Anyways, okay, without further ado, who wishes to start first to validate their top five?
So what we're doing here is we are breaking away from the conglomerate top, and we're going to name our individual top five.
Exactly, and then say why we thought they ranked the way they did. Why don't we start with Murphy?
Yeah, oh, okay.
Because he was last here. Go ahead, Murphy.
All right, well...
What did you put down as number five?
Number five, I have what was our number six, which was Journey to Dimension X. And I have to say why I put that at five, I guess.
Yes.
I like that one simply for the fact that we had stampeding walruses, and the fact that there was actually a sound effect for stampeding walruses, which I had never heard before. And the fact that that came alive after all the sound effects were thrown into that thing, I think that one really came to life, because that was one of the ones where when we recorded it, we pretty much all thought it was going to be terrible. And then once, you know, after sound effects were added in, it really found a life of its own. So that's why I like that one. That's why I have that one at five. Number four, I have iRobot, you Jane. I don't know. That one felt really good for some reason. I liked that one after recording. I liked that one after sound effects were put in. I pretty much just liked that one altogether. I think that's when I kind of started to loosen up a bit in the recording process. So I think that's why I like that one too. That's one of my personal favorites. Number three, The Land of Fluff. That was one where... it was kind of indifferent after recording that one. And then I didn't even remember half the bits when I listened to that one after the sound effects were put in, and I was laughing my butt off on that one. So I really like that one a lot. Especially the fact that all their instruments, their weapons, they change into pumpkins after midnight.
That's your fault too, because you're the one who brought that whole idea up in the first place.
Yeah, you're the one who threw that one at us, that curveball.
I know, that one was... That was my fault, but I still like that issue.
Fault, nothing. That was good. It was brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number two, I had to throw in Clownpocalypse Now. I love that episode. It was our second episode recording, and that's when because after Touched by the King, it was like, okay, this might be cool. But after Clownpocalypse Now, I was just like, oh my god, we're doing something cool here. Like, you know, we're making some pretty cool stuff. I liked all the sound effects, the clown noises, everything about that episode was just awesome. And then number one is Living in Utter Fantasy. I absolutely love that episode. Even though the intro is a little long, I think we can all agree on that one. But once you get past the intro into the utter stupidity of everything in that episode, I just can't help but laugh at almost every single minute of that episode, just from me and Doc going at it as Sean and the Queen, and then and King's dopey quest person traveler. That episode's awesome. So yeah, there's my top five.
Oh. All right, Doc, what about you?
All right, we'll do for my personal top five. Mm-hmm. The Land of Fluff is number five.
Okay.
I greatly enjoyed that one as well. I think Murphy's guy who couldn't talk properly was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they all put pillows over their faces and killed themselves at the end. Thank you, King, for throwing that one at us.
Well, you know, everyone's going to die at the end of the episode, right?
And I felt... I felt more comfortable with my general character in that one. So there's my number five. Number four, Lawrence of Venus. Mm-hmm. I really liked Lawrence of Venus. I'm a big fan of the movie Lawrence of Arabia. When King threw the idea at me, I was like, let's do that. I love King's John F. Faisal. And how at the beginning, my character was following him around and was too stupid to realize it was John F. Faisal. And even when he did announce that that's who it was, he still didn't think that's who it was. Oh, God. That one was fun. And then everyone leading the entire Venusians to their death was entertaining. Okay, so then moving on to number three, Living in Utter Fantasies, my third. Mm-hmm. Everyone likes that one. It's a good one. Murphy explained it why. He forgot to mention, though, the singing eunuch was one
yes.
of the creatures.
Oh, yes.
God.
On top of all the other stuff, King's character, etc. The reason it's not number one, I don't know. I guess the intro is a little bit long, but that's not really a decision maker. I just like the other two that are coming up better, I guess. Mm-hmm. Number two, Clompocalypse Now. Mm-hmm. Same reasons Murphy said. It's hard to believe that was only our second episode, because it feels like after that one week, we started really kind of, we felt like we started clicking a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of really good bits in it. And when my general guy is trying to assassinate King's character and keeps failing, that worked out very well. And number one, it's my personal favorite, iRobot Eugene. I don't know why. It's hard to explain. It's something that, like, I just always go back to it. I always find it amusing. I like King's characterization. I just think it was well done, like, from a story perspective. It's not, I mean, some are just nonstop gags after one after the other, and this one is, obviously, as well, but I think it's got a solid structure around it as well. And I had a lot of fun playing Igor and bringing the mad scientist character down every second he could get. I think that's another reason. I think I had the most fun recording that one, which is probably why it's my number one. So we'll move on to King.
Okay, and I liked your Igor, so there you go. All right, for me, number five is Episode 3, Journey to Dimension X. That was the one I remember saying to everybody before we started that. I said, you know what? This is a oral thing. We can do sound effects. We can make it as big and as epic as we want to. And so we went to three different planets. We had a whole bunch of things going on. We had the walrus riding, which was fun to put together as a sound effect. My favorite bit in there, admittedly, okay, sorry, this is my own bit I did, but to be honest, it came out of nowhere, and I had to die laughing. It was where, you know, they're talking about how hot it is on Venus, and I said, yeah, Journey to Dimension X, sorry. I jump ahead. That was where we... my favorite bit was not that. It was actually the whole McDonald's bit with Doc. And then suddenly Murphy just says, I'm loving it. Or no, Murphy does the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and I go, I'm loving it. And it was like, okay, that was, you know, just let's have fun with the whole thing. And, the walrus riding, the overdoing, the whole characterization, and then Murphy's revelation that he's a hobo. I think I love that. It's just like, and it was out of nowhere, and then yet it fit. It's sort of like, you know, yeah, by the way, I'm a hobo. And of course, the introduction of Winky, one of my favorite characters. I love Winky. He's funny.
You know, for both Winky episodes, I never ranked either of them that high.
Because you're doing the job, right?
I wonder why.
Sorry. Okay, so number four is actually episode two, Clownpocalypse Now. That was our first special effects extravaganza as far as I was testing out what I could do with sound effects on that. So, like, I put the sound effects together with it, so for good or for bad. And so, for me, I'm looking at it from that point of view. I had some fun putting the squeaks and the bubble, you know, the sounds of the clowns walking around and the sound of zombie shuffling and everything. It was a funny episode. There were some weird moments in it and everything. And, you know, moments that... At the time, you're going, is that going to work or not? And then suddenly you listen to it afterwards and go, that's funny. I like that. That's funny. And Clownpocalypse Now had... We confined it into a small space, but you almost got a feeling that there's a bigger area. And it was sort of the lead up to, hey, we can go all out. We can go to any planet we want. We can do anything we want to do with our story. We can go anywhere. And this was the breakout. Like, with the first episode, Touched by King, it was sort of like... you know, small area. We went to a court. We went to a diner, but it was sort of like small areas. This, we started off in a small basement, but yet you had a feeling there was so much more going on, and there was like a lot of special effects with gunfire and the bit with me and Doc, putting the guy out of his misery. And I guess that was the start of realizing, hey, we're throwing in guest stars in our bits, because I think every episode has almost every episode has.
Towards the end, we kind of quit. We kind of stopped.
I don't know. Did we?
Yeah, there's none. There's none in episode 10. There are none.
Oh, well, we got to fix that.
Yeah, and the man behind the wall really didn't have any either.
No, it didn't either. Yeah, we kind of broke away from that.
Neither did the Land of Fluff. I think episode 7 was the last one that had a quote-unquote celebrity guest.
Wow, that's odd. Now that I think about it, that's amazing. Okay, well, then, now going on to episode, the fourth in mine is, that was the fourth. The third is episode 4 for me, which
I
is
like that one too.
Lawrence of Venus. I mean, that's the one, sorry, this is the one, my favorite line happens to be one of my own, which sounds kind of lame. Well, hey, that was the funniest part was mine, but the part that always cracks me up, because I did it off the cuff and didn't even think about it, is where Faisal's talking about, you know, they're talking about how hot it is on Mercury, and Faisal suddenly says, yeah, my monkey just caught on fire. And I decided, and by putting the sound effect, and I don't know if you can actually hear it or not, like if you listen carefully, you hear the sound of a monkey catching on fire. And I thought, that's the most bizarre, stupidest thing I could think of. And it actually
that part
funny.
Definitely makes me laugh. I love that part.
Here's the thing with these things is we're like, oh, wow, we're like laughing about like what we said. But when you're like, when you're doing it off the cuff and like ad-libbing it in character,
yeah,
you won't even remember what you said until you hear it again. And when you hear it again, it doesn't feel like you've said it, if that makes any sense at all.
It does to me, because I'm kind of like, I said that? That's actually smart.
Yeah, that's why maybe. It feels weird.
It does.
But that's why it's not like a bad thing, or I don't think you should be scrutinized for quoting yourself in that sense.
I'm the only time I'm going to do that. That line actually broke me up, because it's such a bizarre, weird line of, you know, the monkey I'm writing just caught on fire. It's like, what was I thinking at the time? I don't know, but I like the fact that I said it out loud. But the whole feeling, the Lawrence of Arabia thing, trying to make it, it was our first epic one. That was the one right after, Journey to Dimension X, we were on another planet, but it wasn't quite big. This, you know, once we did the walruses on Journey to Dimension X, then I realized we could mix together sound effects and do anything. So we had flying monkeys. We had three different planets. We had, you know, the laser battle at the end, the big, you know, war. So it was enjoyable, and I liked doing that episode. Now on to episode 2, which for me is episode 5, which is dun dun dun. Yes,
iRobot Eugene.
Exactly. Thank you. I was just going to say, iRobot, Eugene. Fun episode. I enjoyed doing that episode a lot. The thing I liked the most was Doc. Doc's Igor is hilarious, because he's just, it's all the asides he's throwing in. And to be honest, I had to boost a lot of them, because he was just saying them quietly to himself. And it's like, okay, I'm putting the thing together. It's like, oh, I got to boost that. I got to boost up the sound on that one, because that's a funny aside. You did a lot. The whole bit about the book, you know, the total failures, blah, 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 by
I've
Igor.
I've never had such an epic failure in all my life.
It's a biography he called him. Never said that. I mean, come on. That's just hilarious. And poor Igor, you know. The robot thing was basically, you know, it's the cliche robot story where the man creates the robot that can do things for him. I stole the whole, ending of the here's a spoiler if you haven't listened to it, so go back and listen to it before I say this, bit where the guy's the actual robot. I stole that from a Star Trek episode where, you know, he was in the planet of androids and he was an android, and at the end he reveals that he's an android, but he's really Roger Corby. I mean, you know, it's all melodrama and crap, but I love it.
But all right. We put a great twist on it at the end. So it did, like, a twist on the twist. We M. Night Shyamalan'd that thing.
We did. Well, we tried
because
to.
Because afterwards, Igor just doesn't care and just leaves him.
Yeah. Which means Igor can always come back. Of course, Winky
kill all humans.
Kill all humans, but Winky always comes back, so it doesn't matter. And, of course, here we go. Number one for me, of course, is episode 7, which is, of course, Living in Utter Fantasy. That one was just a fun episode. That one was not going to work when we first started it. When we were starting that night off, I don't know about you, but I felt like everything was off. We sort of had a vague idea. Let's do a fantasy thing. And I had sort of an idea. The overlong opening. I agree. It probably does not work now than when I thought it did at the time. However, the meat of the story itself is funny. I think it's a funny, funny episode. The characters are all bizarre and weird. And the Sean Connery mother thing is hilarious. you know, the Queen's voice that Doc does, which is sort of like a Monty Python thing. Yeah. I just had a hoot doing that. And the voice that I did was a throwaway because I started off before we even started taping. I'm going to be Prince Charles and I'm going to talk like this.
Because
the Queen. And I said, that's my Prince Charles voice. And I wasn't going to do it. I said, that's a throwaway because we had two English guys listening to it. And I'm going, okay. And then it started and I just went with that voice. And it was like, they enjoyed it. They called it Liverpudlian, for God's sakes. That was the guy from Liverpool. I was just doing a voice, but I was having fun with it. It was like the slow, dim-witted guy. But, you know, if he doesn't seem like dim-witted, actually, he was the sanest guy in the whole group.
That's true.
Sure, he took everything as it came along because what are you going to do? But if you think about it, he didn't say anything utterly stupid. He just like, okay, let's just do this then. Everybody else was like just, oof. Yeah, the car salesman who was like, I don't know why he would follow this gay kid. Except for the fact he figured he was going to get money out of it.
Something's got to be wrong with that guy. Yeah.
And, of course, I think the killer thing that I loved the most was Murphy's eunuch. And the line that kills me the most out of that episode, and one of my favorite lines, is as the Sean Connery listening. I mean, this is where Murphy was actually acting really well. It's Sean Connery, he goes, oh, I've got a eunuch. And he goes, a eunuch? And there's this long pause. Well, a eunuch is good. And it's like, it's as if I'd surprised him with the line that there's a eunuch in the group, even though he played the eunuch himself. And it was like, it really works. Timing-wise, I think that is one of the funniest moments we did. Because it's sort of like, a eunuch? And it's like,
he goes, I found a eunuch.
You found a eunuch? pause. And then he goes into, the eunuch's good. And it literally sounds like somebody just walking in, hearing the line, and improvising off of that, as opposed to a guy who was the eunuch. So it shouldn't be a surprise to him whatsoever. But he played the surprise perfectly. I loved it. It was sort of like going, it's almost as if he's justifying the fact that his son is hanging around a eunuch going, okay, well, yeah, eunuchs have special powers. Whether Murphy intended it to be that way or not, that's the way
it
came across.
That much funnier.
Yeah, that's the way it comes across to me when I hear it, and I think it's hilarious for that.
Well, so. I think, like, also in that episode, Doc posed a great question with the car salesman saying, like, you know, I heard that there was, like, a sane asylum that broke loose and stuff like that. It's could this all just be a bunch of insane asylum people and the car salesman the only sane person?
Well, say sane, but like we were saying before, he did follow them.
Yeah,
that's true.
He didn't really resist any of the things that were going on until the end. But there you go. So that's our top 10. You know, honorable mentions go, of course, back to the episodes in the bottom 6. They're good episodes, as far as I'm concerned. There's some really funny moments in it. Moon Madness has some very funny moments in it. I don't know if the ending works so well. It was definitely going to the formulaic Twilight Zone twist ending.
But we were going for that. And, like, that's the thing, is we don't take any of our twists seriously.
No. The twists are done as just for the sake. Here's some things. Okay. Here's another interesting thing we can talk about before we end this.
We still haven't gone over the actual top five.
Ah, the conglomerate top five.
Conglomerate.
I can do that.
Well, if you want to. I was just going to say some I noticed some interesting things about our shows.
Okay.
They have a high death toll.
Yep. At the end of our shows, almost no one ever lives.
Yeah. Has any of the which heroes have survived?
Let's
look at the episodes. We'll go from
episode 10. We'll count down. Episode 10, the main character gets killed. Episode 9, everyone dies.
Yep.
Episode
8, nobody dies.
The mother dies.
Oh, the mother dies. Yeah, but she's not really a character. But there is
one
death.
The other two get arrested.
Yeah, they do get arrested. The man gets walled up, but it's okay. He's immortal.
Episode 7, they all...
the main character dies.
The kid dies.
The main character dies, yes.
Episode 6...
Everybody but the main character is eaten. Or the other two main... The other two characters, supporting characters, are eaten.
Episode 5, everyone at the French Academy dies. In the end, there's the implication that Moore will die.
But Igor gets away. The professor's still alive. The robot's still alive, so that's not too bad. Episode 4, Lawrence survives. Everybody else dies.
Well...
Like in real life.
In the epilogue, Lawrence dies, though.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, we mentioned the well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the thing from the movie.
Journey to Dimension X, Winky dies. Oddly enough, that's twice he's died.
Yeah, he dies in everything.
But the main characters have survived, so they may surface again. Clownpocalypse, now everybody dies.
Yep. Everyone dies. Well,
everybody dies.
It's a zombie film.
Touched by a King, the crippled child dies.
No, he doesn't. The crippled child doesn't die, does he?
Yes, he does.
He
tries
cliff.
To fly off the
That's
cliff.
Right. I forgot about that when I made the flapping noises. I forgot about that. Yes, the crippled child dies, but the guy being hung, the juror being hung for being an idiot, doesn't.
I sure hope that dumpy diner turns me into a sandwich when I'm dead.
So there you go. So that seems to be a main theme. There's a lot of people dying. And coming up, episode,
11.
Episode 10. We didn't even mention.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, did we?
Mention 10.
Okay.
We mentioned 10.
Yeah, 10 is probably the darkest one we've ever done.
Yeah, because it's just some innocent guy getting brought into this twisted world.
Well, that's what happens. The moral of the story is, on that one, is, you know, don't hit. I accept the terms without reading the terms.
Exactly.
Which is what everybody does in this world nowadays. Anyways, okay, so give us a conglomerate top five, and then I think we'll sign off for the evening.
Okay, conglomerate top. Actually, we have a tie. The fifth and fourth are tied at 5.6. Lawrence of Venus and Land of Fluff.
Okay.
So that's the 5 and 4.
And Land of Fluff I had low on mine. I personally, that wasn't one of my favorites. But
Murph and I had it high. That's what middled it out. And then the same with Lawrence of Venus. You and I had it high, King. Murph had it lower, which was what evened it out.
What'd you have it at, Murph?
10.
Really? That was the one.
He played the garbage man. He wasn't in it for very long.
No, it wasn't even.
That's what it was.
For that, I think King. I think your monkey catching on fire line is one of the only ones that makes me laugh in that entire episode.
Really?
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know.
You've got a heart of stone.
I might just not be part of the joke though, because I've never seen that movie. So I don't.
You don't have to see that movie. I didn't think you had to see that movie to get.
No, I didn't either. But.
Okay.
I don't know. But you and I really enjoyed it. So, I mean, it's
so that's all that matters.
enough debate.
All right.
Number
next.
The 3, 2, and 1. Clownpocalypse is 3. iRobot 2. Fantasy is 1.
Yeah, we've all talked about that. So, I mean, let's face it.
Yep.
Those were pretty good episodes. So, you know, it would be nice is to hear what people who are listening, what they think their top 10 episodes were, because it could be completely different from what we have.
If you hate them all, what are your least favorite to, like, least favorite?
Or if you listen to only two of them, what's your top two episodes?
That works, too. Anyway, so any last words before we head off?
Yes.
Aside from the usual go-to automatic
email to mindsmysteries@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or leave a comment on mysteriesofthemind.podomatic.com.
Yes.
Thank you guys for listening to our discussion about ourselves.
Last but not least is, thank you for listening, and we shall see you all again. And don't forget to listen to episode 11, the start of the next round of top 10s, which will be the top 20, I guess, in 10 more episodes. Hopefully we've got another 10 that's coming out.
Oh, God, we're going to keep this going.
Yeah, well, this next episode should be a big surprise to all of you as far as content and style. So I hope you enjoy it, and we shall see you all again next week.
All right, talk to you all later.
Take it easy.
Take care. Bye-bye.